Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong. Today, Garner Ted Armstrong warns of the frightening growth in world population and examines what can be done to alleviate this greatest of all problems. He also offers you a free booklet called Famine, Can We Survive?
Do you think anyone would be willing to starve to death to hang on to his traditions? I mean, starve to death just to continue with a certain state of being as far as belief, philosophy, religion, or tradition is concerned? There are actually people who are doing this. They're starving to death because of what they believe. Other people who could produce the food to feed them if they would just let go of their ancient ways. Now, we could get into an all-day discussion about other people's religions and go into all the pros and cons of the no-beef Hindu culture. Actually, there are 30 or more breeds of cattle in India, and most of them are of good quality and potentially very productive. They're hardy, gentle creatures, and when they're properly cared for, they compare very favorably with Western beef breeds in both productivity and quality. The bullocks are good, solid work animals with a docile disposition. They're also useful as milk animals, and some of them are both meat and milk producers. But only half of India's cattle serve these useful purposes. The rest of them are considered holy, sacred. Literally considered as a holy cow. They're so precious in the sight of a Hindu that when tourists visit Hindu shrines, they have to take off their leather shoes or even their leather-soled shoes before entering. So this half of the cattle population lives off the best of the land and actually competes with the human population for the already inadequate food supply. But tradition and religion dictate that the animals are too sacred to be slaughtered, and so ready protein remains on the hoof, while millions of people live a life of terrible protein deficiency and malnutrition. But the production of food is also hampered by the ancient traditional methods that are still widespread. I'm not talking about farmers refusing to use chemical fertilizers because they're afraid of damaging the land they've inherited, or refusing to dust their crops with insecticides. I can't blame them for that. But I mean just plain, elementary, good farming procedures. There's plenty of water in India, you know. The water resources of Indian rivers measured in terms of annual flow are estimated over 1.3 thousand million acre feet, which means there's enough river water to cover 1.3 thousand million acres to the depth of 1 foot. There's enough runoff alone to irrigate 325 thousand million acres with 48 inches of water a year. A water supply like this could be used to produce enough fruits and vegetables to eliminate all hunger, never mind starvation, in all of India. Well, then why isn't the water being used? The answer is that it isn't being used properly. Inadequate systems of irrigation are the tradition. Irrigation is done by hand or with water drawn from wells in skin buckets by bullocks. It's common to see the large beasts harnessed to ancient devices for raising the water. It's even common to see men laboriously raising a long pole up and down over a well, struggling to pull up enough water to keep their meager crops alive. And of course, this primitive method will only work on the small plots. The big farms are grossly hampered. It's not that the Indian government isn't trying to do something about it. They've offered the farmers free water and help in properly irrigating the land, but the tradition-bound men on the farms will have no part of it. It's not their custom to irrigate. It's not tradition, and so they just don't do it. Their fathers and their grandfathers didn't use irrigation. Why should they? Why should they change? Indian authoress Kasum Nair says, and rightly, that it can be easier to build a million-ton steel plant borrowing the money and hiring technicians from abroad than it is to change the entrenched ideas of men.
This broadcast has been presented by Ambassador College as a public service. The free booklet offered is part of the worldwide program by Ambassador College of presenting vitally interesting facts on topics of public concern. Write for your free copy. The address is Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Box 345, GPO Sydney, and we'll send you your free copy. Listen again to Garner Ted Armstrong, presented by the Worldwide Services of Ambassador College, Monday to Friday on this station.